Good morning. Welcome to Bible study. This is Brother Miles. Glad you stopped by. Hope everything is well, and I hope you've been reading Genesis when you can, and hope we're learning together, and I'm excited to be here with you today. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 8. We'll begin with prayer, and then we'll get into our study, okay? Lord, thank you for the day. Lord, thank you for watching over us and taking care of us. Thank you for your word. Lord, help us to focus today and help it to find lodgment in our hearts. And Lord, please bless every listener today. And we praise you and honor you because we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. Excuse me. We left off in Genesis 7, verse 24. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. The total time that the water was on the earth was 150 days, and we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1. I'm going to read some verses, and then I'm going to show you some sort of a timeline of when Noah entered the ark. He entered when he was 600 years old, and it's really interesting when you kind of lay it out. So now God's taking care of him. In his family, Noah was walked with God. He was righteous in the sight of God. He wasn't a perfect man, not by any stretch of the imagination, but he was different in that he had faith in God. He believed in God. He served God. He sacrificed to God. He taught his children about God. His household was right with God, if you will. And so God chose him gracefully. By his grace, God chose him and gave him this big order about building this ark, and he gave him the dimensions. And Noah was not a shipbuilder by any stretch of the imagination. Him and his sons and their wives and his wife and, constructed the ark. Maybe he had help from others. Maybe he contracted some of that out. I don't know. Doesn't really say. But we do know that the ark was finished, and God told him to enter, told him the animals would come to him, and they came to him just like he said they would. Noah's operating on faith. And God told him it was going to rain, the earth was going to flood. And all this time it took him to build this ark, he was telling the people about what God had said. And nobody listened. And I can't help but think when God told Noah to come into the ark, him and his family came in. He had a choice. His sons had a choice. Their wives had a choice. And Miss Noah had a choice. And they came into the ark, and the Bible says God shut him in. And I wonder what those people thought on the outside when they saw the door shut. You know, it's going to be like that one day. Opportunity is going to be over with. Chances will be done. The door will be closed. Right now, the Lord Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The door of salvation is standing wide open. And I hope and pray that you've gone through that door. See, the ark is a type of Christ. And there's safety in the ark. God shut them in. They were sealed in. They couldn't get out. They didn't want to get out. They were protected from the storm, from the judgment. And when you're in Jesus, when you get saved, God places you. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the Lord Jesus Christ. You're positioned there forever. That's positional sanctification. Then as you grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's progressive sanctification. So Noah's in the ark, and it started to rain. Water started to fall. The heavens opened. The fountains of the deep broke up first, and people were, they believed then, but it was too late. See, everybody's going to believe. Everybody's going to believe, but you have, the world has a time limit to believe. There's a time limit on believing. And so the Bible says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, it says, God remembered Noah. God hadn't forgotten him. That's not what that means. It doesn't mean that God had forgotten him. God was true to his word, and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. Now here's Noah in this ark with his family, and it's dark inside. I know there's they had lights, of course, torches, that kind of thing, and they couldn't operate in total darkness. And there was that only one window, and it wasn't a glass window, of course. It was a sealed opening that he's going to open up here in just a few minutes. But it had to be dark in there, and that thing, I'm sure, creaked, and it moved up and down, and you know, God had his hand on it. And the thing about it is when God told him to go in, that's the last thing God said to him for all this time until God told him to get off. We'll see what the length of time was in just a second. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, and the 10th month on the first day of the month when the tops of the mountains were seen. So the water, God caused the waters to abate. He cast a wind across the waters. They began to dissipate. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. The raven was an unclean animal, and so it was expendable. He sent in the raven. The Bible says it went to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. She returned unto him in the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put in his hand, and he took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from the earth. He knew the waters were going down. He stayed yet another 7 days. This is like 21 days now, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. So she found a place to light. And it came to pass in the 601st year. Now, let me turn over to chapter 7, verse 11. Watch this right here. Chapter 7, verse, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. Now, verse 13 of chapter 8, and it came to pass in the 601st year, and he was 600 years old when the waters broke up. 601, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. A whole year, people. A whole year. Now, in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. Now, from the time Noah got on the ark, from the time God told him in his heart and his mind, or with an audible voice, I don't know, God told him to get in the ark. Now, see, God's telling people today to get into Jesus. Every single Sunday, preachers preach, people witness, people share their faith. The word of God is unlimited in the United States of America. Right, I mean, right here in Chautauqua County, right there in your own home, there's no telling how many Bibles that we have. And so there's no shortage of the word of God. There's none. And see, what I think about America and what all is going on and everything that's happening and what we're dealing with, unprecedented times in the coronavirus and the upheaval and racism and all this stuff going on. We need Jesus today more than we need anything else. Political politics, is not going to solve the problem. Taking away statues and police reform and all that stuff is helpful, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure we could use reform. There's no doubt about that. But we need revival. It's what we need. And people need to understand, you know, we're safe in Jesus. See, he couldn't get out of that ark. He couldn't get out of there if he wanted to. I want to read something to you, and I may have already done it. I can't remember if I did or not. I didn't mark it. But this is the flood. The chronology of the flood. In the 600th year of Noah, he entered the ark. That's in Genesis chapter 7. 600th year of Noah, on the second month, 17th day of the month, 7 days later, the flood began. Remember God said they got 7 days? Remember that over there? Noah told the people, I'm sure, we've got 7 days. God said, we only have a week. We've got 7 days before the water's coming. All right, listen. You know, Jesus is closer to coming for the church than he's ever been. And that's not just a cliche. That's not just something that preachers say. That is the literal truth. Noah told those people, we've got 7 days. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days, 5 months of 30 days each, including the 40 days and 40 nights of rain. In the 600th year of Noah, 17th day of the month, the waters began to recede. The waters later receded to the point that the ark rested on Ararat. This is in the 600th year, the 7th month, and the 17th day. The waters continued to abate. On the 10th month of the first day, the tops of the mountains were seen. 40 days later, in the 600th year, in the 11th month, Noah sent out the raven and the dove. Over the next 14 days, Noah sent out two more doves. In all, it took 61 days or 2 months and 1 day. By Noah's 601st year, on the first month, the first day, the waters were dried up. Noah waited 1 month and 26 days before he disembarked the second month, the 27th day of its 601st year. From beginning to end, the flood lasted 1 year and 10 days from Genesis chapter 7 until Genesis chapter 8, verse 14. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. This was not what I would call a trial in his life. He simply obeyed God, and God protected him. And he protected him from the storm and from the rain. He wouldn't have survived just like everybody else. Nothing survived except for Noah, his sons' wives, and Miss Noah, and the animals on the ark. That's the only thing that survived. Remember over here it said all living things that had breath and every man died? Now, think about this for just a moment and kind of picture it in your mind to be in that ark. You know, sanctify your imagination. Think about the enormity of this thing. Think about all these animals. Think about everything they had to do, the feeding, to discarding of the waste, watering the animals, just all these jobs, taking care of themselves, feeding themselves. There was work to be done. There was things in the ark that had to be taken care of. I mean, it was a magnificent structure, not only from the outside, but on the inside as well. Getting from one place to the next, where certain animals were, no doubt the size of animals and their displacement in the ark. See, God gave Noah. See, when we obey God, when we trust God by faith, He gives us wisdom. He imparts to us wisdom to carry out His wishes. God never tells you to do anything, or He never throws you out there to just see if you're going to sink or swim. God had instructed Noah, and Noah was instructable. Now think about this for just a moment. Noah was teachable. God could talk to him because he trusted and he believed in God. He served God. And so it was natural for Noah to believe because he had a foundation from which to believe. Now see, this is where the Word of God comes into play in our life. When we read and study, just like going through Genesis right here, you're building on your foundation. You're building on the Genesis account of creation. You're learning relearning what all this means, and you're refreshing your hearts and minds. And all that does is it just adds stone upon stone upon stone. And the truth is embedded in our hearts, and when error comes, somebody tries to teach you something else or tries to tell you something else, then the Holy Spirit will take that you've learned, those building blocks, the foundation of faith. He will take what you've learned, and He will use it to warn you about falsehood. That's the only way. That's why, you know, people are being converted into cults. People are being converted into cults hand over fist, into various and sundry cults that are in our neighborhood, in our community. And the only way that can happen is that a person is they're destructible. Their faith is destructible because it's not built on a firm foundation. And when your faith is indestructible, it's built on the Word of God, and that's immovable. That can't, that's impenetrable. Nothing can get through that. And so it's really wise to read and study. It's really wise to make notes and to write in the margin of your Bible. The only person can read my writing is my wife, and I had to train people at work. I used to have to handwrite tickets, and just about every single one, they'd call back and say, "Miles, what number is this? Is this a 7? What is this?" And so, but in my Bibles, I write in my Bibles. I underline stuff, especially when something's mentioned 2 or 3 times. That means it's very, very important. It's very, very important. Just like that word prevailed we talked about last week. All right, so here's Noah, and he was able to carry out God's wishes. He was able to be obedient because he had substance to build on. He had a faith that was solid. It wasn't shakable. And see, those people tried to shake him. I mean, don't you know the arguments that they gave him? You know, look, Noah, listen to me now. Sit down just for a minute. Lay your mallet down and listen. It's never rained, man. It's never rained. What is rain? I mean, you know, and you're building this humongous boat. Noah, what's wrong? What's gotten into you? I mean, there had to be some people with some convincing arguments. But see, it doesn't matter how convincing the argument is. If your faith is strong, it's built on the solid foundation, it won't move. It won't move. I know God is going to carry me through. I know God is good at His word. I know what God told me, and I'm going to be obedient. So see, you know, and that's seen in the life of His family. His faith was not only unshakable in the community, his faith was unshakable in his family because they followed every step he took. Every step he took, they followed him, they believed in him, they trusted in him and his God. That's a man there now. That's a father, that's a husband. And you know, when that door shut and they're all standing on the other side of that door, I can see Noah had his arms around his wife. I can see the sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, had their arms around each one of their wives, and that door shut, and it shut with authority. And I wondered if they could hear the people on the outside. I wondered if they could hear the people on the outside, especially when it started to rain. They started to holler, and they started to scream. And they started, "Let me in, Noah, please let me in, Noah. I believe now. I understand what you're saying. I believe." I was only kidding, really. You know, they tried to climb. They tried to work their way up to the door. You know, this is what I think. I think that Noah's wife looked into the eyes of her husband, and her faith right then and there was even stronger than it had ever been. I believe she was solidified in the relationship with her husband, her family. Now I'm not trying to elevate him. I'm just saying that when we see God coming through, it energizes us. It helps us to stabilize. So in these times that we're going through, trust the Lord. Trust Him. Read and study your Bible. Don't hunt and peck. If you're going to study Genesis, ride with me. If you're going to study Exodus, ride with me. If you're studying Psalms in another place, stay with it. And stay with it till you finish the theme, or you finish the book, or you finish the chapter, or whatever it is that you're studying. Stay with it and don't jump all around. Study systematically. Systematic Bible study is the best way to learn. It's the best way to build your faith. All right, let me get back going over here. So he had, and in the second, verse 14, second month on the 7th, 20th day, the earth was dried. Now verse 15, watch this right here. And God spake unto Noah. Now, not only was he, the last time he spoke to him was in chapter 7, verse 16, the Lord shut him in. Now it's been a year. It's been a whole year. No indication that God has said anything to him. It's not recorded. You know, this Noah stayed firm. And how do you know that, Brother Miles? Well, I know that because when God gives him further instructions, he carries them out as well. And also I know it when in verse 20, I'll show you in just a second. And God spake unto Noah, saying, "Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee." So God told him it's time to get off. I wonder what it was like. Now see, the door had to open. The door had to open. Noah couldn't open it. He couldn't budge it. He couldn't move it. So the door had to open. And when the door opened and he looked outside and he saw, you know, there was on Mount Ararat, modern day Turkey. And that's, they believe that's where the ark, I mean, they have evidence that that's where the ark rested, literally. And we don't need that we don't need archaeology it's great. But we believe God's word as it, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept. God, the word of God proves archaeology. The archaeology doesn't prove God's word. But anyway, you know, that door opens. God says, y'all come on out. Y'all come on out. Noah had peace in his heart. He had peace in his heart. He had excitement in his soul. And he walked out and stood there. I can just kind of picture him standing there in the doorway and the fresh air and the sunshine. And he could see the land and the water was gone. But there was no movement out there now because all the animals were still on the inside. Bring forth with thee every living thing that's with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. So Noah turned around and he told his sons, he said, let's let everything go. So I don't know where they started, how they started, or I'm sure it wasn't bedlam, it wasn't chaos, it wasn't just helter skelter. You could tell Noah was systematic. He had to be systematic complete this project. And so they began to turn these animals loose and they began to go outside and in time they bred and replenished the earth and the animal population, the bugs and the all the things and the birds and everything just began to reproduce and began to replenish the earth. Pretty soon they could see birds flying, they could hear the animals and now watch. Noah went forth and his sons and his wife and his son's wife with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind went forth out of the ark. You know, if you notice the repetition, how the Bible repeats itself in these phrases right here, it's like you read it. And there's a reason for it. It's a reason for it. It's to show the authority of God's word. And it's to show that things went to God's plan. Went exactly as he planned. Now notice what happens in verse 20. Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled. Now, the Lord God is a spirit. He must be worshipped with spirit and truth. But to help us understand, God gives us a humanistic illustration of God's pleasure. And God smelled a sweet savor. Now, when Noah got off the ark and the animals had gotten off and everything had kind of quieted down or came to that part, a completion to that part, Noah built an altar. He got stones and he built an altar of earth. There was no tool on it. That's further illustrated in the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus and Leviticus. And Noah built an altar to the Lord and he sacrificed, and it took a while to do this. And it took the participation and the help of his sons. And you notice how God's speaking to the man? You notice how God speaks to the man, and God speaks to his sons? And you know why that is? It's because, sir, let me tell you something. Since Adam, God has held man responsible. God has held the man responsible. Responsible spiritually, responsible physically, responsible economically. In every way that we live and function, God holds us responsible. You have a man-sized task. And if you have a family, it's to lead your family and it's to be like Noah. Now Noah's not perfect. We'll find that out. Don't jump too far ahead. And every person in the Bible, from Adam all the way through, you'll find out it's not perfect. And you look at the next verse. God smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, God smelled that sacrifice. God was pleased at Noah's. And God didn't tell him to do this. Noah did it on his own. See, that's the thing that we need to see right there. Noah built an altar unto the Lord. He built a huge, magnificent ark. And then when he got off the ark after that whole year, And finally, one day, when all the waters had abated and it was quiet, and you know they was continuing on with all their chores and everything that they did, God spoke to Noah and said, "It's time to come on out." And when Noah got all the animals out and his family out, he built an altar. I believe it was an altar of thanksgiving. I believe it was an altar of worship. It was an altar of praise. It was an altar to the God of heaven, to the God of judgment. Not only to the God of judgment, but to the God of salvation, to the God of rescue. I mean, to the God of protection. I mean, I'm sure Noah thought over and over about the different aspects of God and how he praised him. I'm sure he told him over and over and over, "Thank you, Lord, for preserving me and my family. Thank you, God. We worship you today and we love you. Lord, we're so un..." And, you know, I can just kind of hear in my mind some of the things that Noah was saying. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And see, it says the Lord said in his heart, you know, when we come to God like that and we give him sacrifices of praise. And now, a sacrifice, you know, might mean that, you know, we're spending time with God when we're really supposed to be doing something else. We give up something else to spend time with God. And the thing that's really sad is, and I'm just going to shoot straight with you, it's in my life, and it's, I'm sure it's in all of our lives, is sometimes God gets the second best. You know, he gets what's left over. And when I finish this over here, then I'm going to spend time in my Bible, or when I make these calls, or when I do this, or when I do that, I get this completed, and I'm going to spend time with God. That's sad. We ought not to be that way, y'all. We sure oughtn't. We ought not to be that way, because God, we're in the ark of Jesus. God has got us safe. God has got us protected. Nothing can harm us, for I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principality, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can get to us. That door of salvation shut. Whenever it was in your life, it was May the 2nd, 1965 and 9. Now, and the Lord swelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, "I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." The Bible says, and you know, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have gone astray, all have gone his own way." Man is sinful. Some men may commit sins that some other man might not commit, but the fact still remains that all have sinned. Jesus died for the sin nature. He died for the sin nature. He forgives us of our sins. And man is capable of sinning. Man is capable of sinning. He's capable of doing dark and evil things. I don't care who he is, and I don't care where he is. That's just a fact. And he says, "While the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." So the cycle of time started. It started when planted, then harvesting and reaping. Then it got cold. Then it got hot. Summer, winter, day and night. Days began to function as normal. And Noah got off the ark with his family. And life began again in a different fashion. It began with those people right there. They were the only ones. And next week we're going to get into how the earth was replenished when we get into chapter 9. And it's really amazing how God works in the lives of people. What he does, he gives us opportunities to trust him and obey. And every single day. Every day goes by, he gives us an opportunity when we get up to live the day for him. We might not know, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what could be. One of our greatest disappointments or heartaches could be just around the corner. It could be one of our greatest victories. And what matters is that how we enter into with God and how we began the day and how we see it unfolding. And where we go with it. We start out with him. And my time is getting away from me. And so next week we're going to be in chapter 9. We're going to start there. We'll break it off here at the end of chapter 8. I really enjoyed the study today. And listen, I hope you'll tune in again next week. Okay? We'll see y'all later. This is Brother Miles. Goodbye, everybody.